I'm going to start today off, the message today, with a quote that most of you probably already know. And you probably heard it more than once because it's during this time of the year that you get to hear it a lot on radio. It's a quote by Bruce Springsteen, who said during his 1975 concert at CW Post, which is where I got my business degree on Long Island, and he said it, although I got it a little later than his 75 concert. I would have loved to have been there, but no. He said, hey guys, you know what time of the year it is? You know what time it is? What? Christmas time. Yeah, it's Christmas time. You all guys been real good, little boys and girls? I know we've heard it a lot on the radio, or at least most of us had. It's become a modern day Christmas carol. Santa Claus is coming to town is the one that he sings. You know, he's never heard on a Christian or a believing radio station except for this time of the year. Except for this one time of the year. The holiday, which commemorates the birth of Yeshua, who the world calls Jesus, is observed by most of the modern world on December 25th. That's this coming Monday already. Christmas is actually a man-made date to answer a question that no one really knows the answer to. No one knows on which date Yeshua was actually born. And now I know this is a fact because I've read it on the online Encyclopedia Britannica. That's how I know. But I also know it because Scripture has no mention of a date. Right? We're told about his birth, but we're not told the date of his birth. And I have to think that if it was important enough to know, Adonai would have put it into Scripture. It's not that he was too busy or it just slipped his mind. He purposely left it out of Scripture, I believe. We have dates for other things, right? We know when the Passover is. We know the Exodus story. We've seen that. We know many other important dates within Scripture. We know most of the feasts. We know, you know, a lot of the prophecies were predicted on a specific date. We know these things when they happen. So it's not like the Scriptures were unable to supply the date. Adonai just didn't want us to know the date of the Savior's birth. Now we should ask why. Why don't we know the date? And I believe it's like other things in Scripture that were left out. Like, where's Noah's Ark? Where's the Ark of the Covenant that Moses put the tablets into and the staff and the, you know, the manna in the jar? Well, Adonai must not want us to know. And why doesn't he want us to know? Because we don't need to know. Because it probably would not do us well. You know, just like if we knew where the Ark of the Covenant was, what would we do? We'd put it up on high on a pedestal. We would start worshiping it instead of what it represents. So, why don't we know? Because we don't need to know right now. Now, maybe as a child, you've heard it said, or maybe as a parent, you've said it. Someone asks the question and you go, you don't need to know that right now. Why do we say it? Well, we say it to protect them. Because it would either hurt them physically or mentally or spiritually. It would be bad for them. So we just don't tell them certain things right away. I mean, come on. Look at what the world has done with the knowledge of who Miriam, who the world calls Mary, and the apostles are. They've made them into divine saints with God-like powers to pray towards them. And not just them. They make up more saints to pray towards all the time. And what does the world do with these made-up saints? They turn them into cartoon-like characters. They turn them into something that they weren't even originally. They turn them into something like St. Patrick, the patron saint of beer. St. Nicholas, the patron saint of presents. The world changes them anyway. They're just not the way it's supposed to be. Now, there are a lot of reasons cited for the date of December 25th as the date that Messiah was born. And I want to look at a few of them, not because I put a lot into them, but because there are others who do, so we should know some of the thought behind them. Not that we believe any of them, but we should be aware of them. And I'm going to give them no particular order of importance or the order of date. They're just arbitrarily here on my paper. Thank my computer for that. I don't know. So, Constantine. As Constantine made Christianity the effective religion of his empire, there are those that think that choosing December 25th had a political and religious motive of weakening the established pagan celebrations of the time. Now, even with that, the date was not widely accepted in the Eastern Empire, where January 6th was preferred, for another half century, and Christmas did not become a major Christian festival until the 9th century. There's also the Roman Christian historian Sextus Julius Africanus, who dated Yeshua's conception to March 25th, which is the same date upon which he said the world was created. So he counted 9 months from there for Miriam to be pregnant and give birth as a result on December 25th. So that's another reason for it to be on December 25th. Next, I read a little piece about an essay in 2016 called The Five Myths About the Nativity by Candida Moss, who's an Edward Cadbury Professor of Theology at the University of Birmingham, UK, and a research associate at the Institute for the Study of Ancient World in New York University. Points out a simpler explanation for the choice of the date December 25th. She says, quote, "The real reason for the selection of December 25th seems to have been that it is exactly 9 months after March 25th, the traditional date of Jesus' crucifixion. As Christians developed the theology idea that Jesus was conceived and crucified on the same date, they set that date. They set the date of his birth 9 months later." Unquote. So there's another reason, similar but a little bit different than the first one. And then we have a late 4th century sermon by Augustine. Not a big fan of Augustine. Little anti-Semitic, but we see his view on why December 25th. And he explains why this winter solstice was a fitting day to celebrate Messiah's birth. Quote, "Hence, it is that he was born on the day in which the shortest of our earthly reckoning and from which subsequent days begin to increase in length. He, therefore, who bent low and lifted up lifted us up, chose the shortest day, yet the one whence light begins to increase." Unquote. So there are some of the interesting reasons for the date of Christmas being on December 25th, the date of Messiah's birth. Now, did you know that Christmas became a federal holiday in the United States on June 24th, 1870? June 24th, an important date for me and my... It's an important date because it's the day before my anniversary. How'd I... Oops. I obviously did not take my ring off to look at the inscription before writing this. I was so sure... Oh, man. I'm normally very good about my anniversary date. I look up and I see my wife going, "Oi!" All right. So, we'll forget I said that. The federal holiday in the United States, it became a federal holiday on the United States, June 24, 1870, the day before my anniversary to Eileen, I'm a representative. Now, according to a publication called The Conversation, in the late 1790s in Germany, a new custom of putting up Christmas trees and decorating them with wax candles and ornaments and exchanging gifts emerged. This new holiday practice was completed and established outside and independent of Christian religious practices. Excuse me. Now, American visitors to Germany in the first half of the 19th century realized the potential of the celebration for nation building. They thought it as important because they could see how you can build a nation, best for a nation to come together. In 1835, Harvard professor George Tidmore was the first American to observe and participate in this type of Christmas celebration and to praise its usefulness for creating a national culture. It was brought to the Americas in order to foster a national culture. Nothing about Yeshua. It's President Ulysses S. Grant, who was looking for a way to unite the North and South after the war, who thought it was a good holiday that would do that. If we can find a strong holiday, the nation would come back together and he would be able to mend the scars that ran between the North and the South. So Christmas, I wrote Xmas there. Christmas in America was formalized not as a religious holiday, but as a way of bringing the country together. No one thinks that these days. No one would even guess that. This is the first time I've read that. But, and that's why I say it came out of this magazine called The Conversation. I saw it on the internet. It must be true, is all I can say. Okay? So although Christmas's fame was not based on religious ideas, it is a time, the time of the year, that a large portion of the world celebrates the birth of Messiah now. The Christ, as the world says. But it seems to be going downhill pretty fast, I gotta tell you. The whole idea of Messiah in Messiah-mas, or Christmas, is really going downhill. What most famously was the birth of Messiah was changed to the story of St. Nicholas. Santa Claus, and then Rudolph, and then Frosty the Snowman. And then it became this angry Grinch. And I see this trend where it's getting darker and darker. I got to admit, I'm not a fan of the Grinch. Not a fan of his character, I'm not a fan of the story, and I say, yuck. Even though the story has a little bit of an uptick at the end, I still say, yuck. Although they draw the Who's pretty cutely. Now, don't get me wrong. If the world wants to do Christmas, that's okay with me. We as Messianic believers should at least acknowledge the birth of Messiah. And as a person who follows a Jewish lifestyle and a Jewish calendar, I don't feel the need to make a big deal of it that others do, to be honest with you. There are special dates, there are feasts, there are holidays that are on the Jewish calendar. Christmas just happens not to be one of them. Doesn't mean I should ignore it, but it doesn't mean that I have to do as the world does. But if you do celebrate Christmas, then there really is only one reason to do it. Yeshua alone is the reason why the season should be. Although Christmas is celebrated almost all over the world, there should be only one reason for it. And it's the most important thing everyone needs to draw their attention to. That is because there is no way we can talk about the death of Yeshua HaMashiach without at least acknowledging his birth. It is because his birth was so special that we should look for his death to be special too. And the thing that made it special is that the death of his flesh was not the death of him as Messiah. In fact, it was his birth that allowed for the salvation that was for all time, for the whole world. And the time of the tabernacle in the desert, or the temple in Jerusalem, it was by the death of animals, which was a temporary salvation that came by the blood that was shed. After Yeshua came in the flesh, it was his death that paid the price for our sins. It was the spilling of his blood that was the atonement of all people. Now we read the importance of his blood in Leviticus 17. 17 starting in 10. Anyone from the house of Israel or from the outsiders dwelling among them who eats any kind of blood, I will set my face against that soul, the one who eats blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your lives. For it is the blood that makes atonement because of the life. Therefore, I have said to Bnei Israel, no person among you may eat blood, nor may any outsiders dwelling among you eat blood. Blood was given for a purpose of making atonement. The blood of Messiah in the flesh is a better blood than the animals who were sacrificed, because it is from the perfect sacrifice. What makes Yeshua the perfect sacrifice? Well, I believe it's that he is eternal. The animals were not. The bodies of the animal sacrifices were burned up and were no more. But Yeshua's body was not burned up, and in fact did not see decay, as he rose, as was prophesied in Psalm 16. Starting in verse 9 of Psalm 16, so my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor let my faithful one see the pit. Or as the NIV says, that his body would not see decay. And we see this. We see this in that he did rise up from the grave. We see this in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're also told about it in Acts 2. Acts 2:29. Brothers, I can confidently tell you that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is with us to this day. So because he was a prophet, he knew God has sworn with an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on the throne. David saw beforehand and spoke of Messiah's resurrection, that he was not abandoned to Sheol, and his body did not see decay. This Yeshua God raised up. We all are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and receiving from the Father the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh, he poured out this that you now see and hear. Yeshua is the perfect sacrifice because his body was not burnt up or turned to dust in a grave. But he rose and lives and still lives. And he stands at the right hand of Adonai to make intercession for us. Which of the sacrifices of the temple, of the tabernacle, could do that? None. What the world wants to do at times, though, which we should be careful not to do, is to put the birth of Messiah over the death of Messiah. The birth of Yeshua, both the occurrence as well as how it occurred, pointed out that he was the Messiah, but it is the death of the Messiah that is what is most important to the world. It was his death that caused the atonement for all men. His shed blood and his death allows us not to have to experience eternity separated from him. It is the price that he paid that allows us to be before him for all time at the throne, instead of the agony of being separated from him for all time in hell. If there was no reason for Yeshua to come to earth in the flesh, then it wouldn't have happened. But it did happen because we do need it. Not because he needs it, but because we need it. The world needs it. Every person needs it. But don't be fooled, as some are. God did not leave the throne to come to earth, as some would say. We know that Adonai is omnipresent, meaning everywhere at once. Yeshua being on earth does not mean that Adonai left the throne. He was there in heaven on the throne, on earth in the form of flesh, while still on the throne. And as Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, he is in all places at all times, while still on the throne. There was never a time that Adonai, Yeshua, and the Ruach HaKodesh, as an Echad, a one God, was not on the throne. You say that's impossible? That perhaps you're the only one who ever found something that's impossible for our God. Because all things are possible for him. There's nothing impossible for our God. I read a blog that said his birth wasn't only an arrival, but it was also a departure. And the writer used Isaiah 6:9 to explain it. So let's take a look at Isaiah 6:9. 9:6, excuse me. A little dyslexic there. Isaiah 9:6. For us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, My Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Two things. He was born and he was given. We look to see that for us, it was a child that was birthed. He was born. But from Adonai's point of view, he was giving us a son, a gift for a very special purpose that cannot be stopped by any evil force. And make no mistake, Satan does try to stop it, did try to stop it, continues to try to stop his power. The child born would eventually be seen as the savior of the world. The son given was Adonai's one and only son described in John 3. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not put his trust in the name of the one and only Ben Elohim, Son of God. Adonai sent the child, Yeshua, to be born for us. And he gave us his son, Yeshua, as a savior. Now, so many people, especially our Jewish brethren, get tripped up by the word son and the fact that he was born. And they want to say, look, you call him two different names. Look, he's in two places at once. Look, you're worshiping two different gods. No. No, this just is not the truth. He is the one. He is Echad. He never separated himself. He never said, give glory to someone else. He only said, I'm the only one worthy of glory. The word son is used not for his sake to describe it the most accurately, but for our sake, so that we have some kind of understanding about what it means. Because could you imagine if he showed us everything? We would never be able to understand it all. But there is a time that we will understand it all. When we get to be before the throne, we will get to know it. This time of the year can be very divisive if we allow it to. As Messianic believers, we should not allow the observance of the birth of Messiah to divide, but to unite. We may not do the tree and the lights, and definitely not the Santa and the Rudolph and the living snowman, but we do the salvation. We do the salvation that came through Messiah to the whole world. Not to the Gentile only, not to the Jew only, not to everyone but the Arabs, not to everyone but the Muslims, not to everyone but the Hindus, to the whole world. Everyone born is saved through Messiah Yeshua, through the knowledge of who he is. And that should be our focus during this time of the year. Seeing pretty lights and tinsel on the tree is nice to the eye, but it does nothing to the spirit and soul. Knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, that's fortifies the soul. That's what salvation is. You can have the other stuff on the side, but make sure it's on the side and the main course is the main course. And that main course is Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, Christ, whatever you want to call him. He is the one the world must look to for salvation. He is the one we do look towards for salvation. Father, we thank you that it is through you and by you that that we have salvation. It is by the Messiah, Yeshua, and his shedding of blood and being hung on a tree that we found our salvation. It is that way that he paid the price that we should be paying for our sin. But in order for him to pay that price for us, we must turn to him. It's like being in line for a movie and having to pay the price and someone behind us having the ticket. But if we don't recognize it, we still have to pay the price. But if we would turn to the one who has done it already, then we don't have to. And the problem is, when we pay the price, it's not a joyful thing afterwards. It's an eternity of paying. When Yeshua paid the price, it was a one and done. He only has to die the one time. He only has to shed his blood the one time. He only has to be put on the tree the one time. He only has to rise again the one time. But here's the thing. We have to accept every day. That is not a one and done. That is not a, you can never lose your salvation. You have to look to him every day. He'll never take it away. You can walk away. You can turn away. But he'll never take it away because of his love and mercy. All we need to do is continue to follow on his path. Continue to follow his road. Continue to run the good race. And we shall reap at the end. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are above all things. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are our Messiah, the personal Messiah for each and every one of us. You don't pick and choose. You don't say, for this one I will be, for that one I would never be. Instead, you say, for all who will turn to me, I will bring salvation for all eternity. And we thank you for that. Ruach, help us to shine your light so that others would see that as well. Others would see the salvation that only comes through Messiah Yeshua. Even if they were to build another temple and another altar, sacrifice animals. And we've seen in the past other religions try to sacrifice animals for their salvation, but that does not work because you are not in it, Adonai. So we ask, show yourself to the world, show yourself to be Savior, show yourself to be merciful, show yourself to be loving, show yourself to be yourself, the one and only, sufficient for everything we ever need for all eternity. And we thank you for that. And everyone says, amen and amen.